Today's daf is Memvav, and we'll begin about six lines down from the top. Amar Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, Halacha K'Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri. And as we saw yesterday, Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri is of the opinion that if a person falls asleep, he's Kona Shvisa in that place where he fell asleep. He has Alpayim Amah in each direction, even though he did not consciously make a Kinyan Shvisa, but he's Roy. If he had been awake, he certainly would have made a Kinyan Shvisa. Omer Rabbi Zeirel Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Beferish Shmiele, Omichlola Shmiele. Did you hear directly, explicitly from Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi that halacha, he said the words halacha Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, or perhaps he said something from which you derive the conclusion that he, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, paskins like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Amalei, so Rabbi Yaakov responds to Rabbi Zeira, Beferish Shmielei, I heard it explicitly from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Gemara now wants to clarify the nature of Rabbi Zeira's question. My klola, what was the implication? There must have been something which Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had stated, and we could derive the conclusion logically from that statement that he, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. What is this klola? And the Gemara answers, "The Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi halacha kidivrei amekel bi eruv." Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi codified a general halacha that whenever there's a machlokas in the laws of eruvin, we'll always paskin like the mekel. We'll see later on that there's a similar principle that applies to Avelus. Whenever there's machlokas about Avelus, we'll always accept the opinion that's Mekel, it's more lenient. And if we apply that general rule of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi to this specific case of a person who fell asleep, then he could be Konesh Visa, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The Chachamim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri hold that he cannot be Konesh Visa because he has no conscious awareness of his Kinyan Shvisa. And therefore he's stuck with Dalet Amos L'chol Ruach. And we're going to rely on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri L'kula with a leniency, allowing him a full 2,000 Amos in each direction, as if he were awake, and as if he consciously was Kona Shvisa. So now the Gemara asks the following question, V'tarti Lomali, why did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi feel compelled to formulate the principle of Halacha K'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? After all, he had already formulated a principle that, in general, any machlokas with regard to Erevin, if we have machlokas where the Erev Tchumen is Chal or not Chal, we always paskin like the Maker. Why did he feel compelled to single out this case of Yashen and we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Of course we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because it's a Kula. Amar Rabbi Zeira Tzrichi. We need both statements of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Number one, we need his statement that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Number two, we need his general statement that we paskin like a mekil in Erevin. De'iash me'inon halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. If we only had the principle of halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, havamin, I would have said, bein l'kula u bein l'chumra, that we can accept the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in both directions when he argues against the Chachamim, whether it's Lekula, and the case of Lekula is Adam Yashen, that he is Kona Shvisa even though he's sleeping, and we grant him 2,000 Amos in each direction, Ubein Lechumra, but we should also accept Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in that logic, Lechumra, for example, with regard to utensils, and no one owns these utensils, as we discussed yesterday, that's called Klei Hefker, Heftzei Hefker. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that just like an Adam who's sleeping and he's not conscious of being Kona Shvisa, so too an inanimate object like a utensil is Kona Shvisa in its makom. Which means that if during the course of Shabbos or Yontif, Reuven comes along and he acquires possession over this chefetz of Hefker, he will not be able to move it beyond the 2,000 Amah of Kinyan Shvisa. And in that sense, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is a machmir. Kamash malon. Now Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi forms a general rule, halacha kedivrei hamekel be'eruv. So therefore, although we'll accept Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri lekula in the case of Adam Yashen, and we're going to allow him 2,000 amah in each direction from the place, the location where he fell asleep. Here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is mekil more than the Chachamim, and we'll accept Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But in the case of Klei Hefker, where it's Dafka the Chachamim who are more lenient, because they allow Kiragle Hakone, meaning Kiragle HaAdam, who acquires ownership. And here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is the Machmir because he limits the Tchum of these Kelim, because he holds that even Cheftzei Hefker Akona Shvisa. Here we're going to paskin like the Chachamim. So we're going to actually split. We're going to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Lekula with regard to Adam Yashen. We're going to paskin like the Chachamim Lekula with regard to Kelim that are Hefker. So the Gemara now raises the following objection, the Lema. Why don't we say that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri made that statement, halacha kidivrei hamekel be'eruv, that would automatically include the case of Adam Yashen, and halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri lomali, why did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi feel compelled to spell out that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in a case of Adam Yashen? Itztrich salka dat kamin, I would have thought, hani mili, when do we apply this principle of halacha kidivrei hamekel be eruv? That's only yachid b'makom yachid, rabbi b'makom rabbi. If we have one tana arguing with one tana, or we have many tanoim against many tanoim, then it's shava b'shava. There's equilibrium on both sides. Now we're going to pass like the mekil. Aval yachid b'makom rabim. If it's one individual single tana against the majority, like for example the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri with the chachamim emalo, we're not going to be able to apply the principle of halacha kedivrei hamekel against the rov. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had to formulate the principle that even in such a case, halacha kedivrei hamekel, even though he's a yachid and neged the rabim, and that's why Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi felt compelled to formulate the principle of halacha ki Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, even though he's up against the majority. Amalei Rav Ola Baye Michti Erevin Derabanan Mali Yochid B'Makom Yochid U'Mali Yochid B'Makom Rabim. Now, honestly, I have to tell you that this statement of Rava is, in my mind, is very, very difficult to understand. Rava thinks that the principle that we paskin like the Rabbim against the Yachid, that only applies in a Din D'Oraisa. There the Rabbim have the upper hand and a superior position over the Yachid. But in a case of a Derabanan, then there's no special adifus, there's no additional power or authority to the Rabbim against the Yachid. And here Rava postulates a very fundamental principle, making Derabanan so radically different than Doraisas that the rules of Psak that apply to Doraisas, namely Yochid v'Rab Malach k'Rabim, that kind of rule does not have any implication in a Derabanan. And therefore Rava turns to Abai and he says, I still don't understand why Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi felt compelled to tell me and teach me that the Halach is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in the case of Adam Yashen, because in a case of a Derabanan, there's no special power or authority granted to the Rabbim above and beyond the Yachid. Amalei Rav Papa Rava, ve'ubi Derabanan lo shani lon ben Yachid v'makom Yachid v'yachid makom Rabbim. What is the basis for your premise that in a Derabanan there's no tilting the scale in favor of the Rabbim? And there's no special authority to the Rabbim. And now the Gemara is going to embark on a kind of a study, an investigation of various halachas and various areas in halacha to try to prove that even in a case of a Derabanan, we still give a special adifus to the Rabbim against the Yochid Vasnan. Here's the first proof of Rav Papa from a Mishnah in Masechta Nida, And the Mishnah records a machlokes with regard to a din derabanan called lemafreya, otherwise known as meis le'eis. Let's explain what this means. Rabbi Elazar says that kol isha shavro le'a shalosh onos daya shaita, which means the following. An average ona, which means a period of time from when she sees dam until the next period of time when we anticipate that she will see dam a second time, is shloshim yom, is 30 days. Now she passed three onos, 90 days, and she didn't see dam at all during this period of 90 days. Rabbi Loza says that her status changes, and now she becomes what's called a misulekes damim, which means we assume that she's going through a period in her life in which her normal menstruation is not kicking in. Maybe she got older, or maybe she was pregnant, maybe she was nursing. Whatever it is, she has a chazaka misulekes damim, that she's not going to see dam. And therefore, once she has that chazaka, Rabbi Elazar says, some have a gear to Rabbi Eliezer, that henceforth when she sees dam, we don't apply the principle of lemafreya, and we don't metame her, if let's say she rolled a dough, let's say, I'm just giving one example, so she came in contact with taros. We're not going to be metame the taros for 24 hours earlier than when she saw the dam, but dayashaita, she'll only be considered tmeya from the time she sees the dam and onwards. That's called mikan lahaba, but there's no retroactive dam. Now, normally, shar nashim, if not for the case of mesulekes damim, if she sees dam, then there's a chumra in taros that we apply the principle of lemafreya, and for 24 hours meis le'eis we go back in time, and any taros that she had contact with during that 24-hour period are tmeos. This is Rabbi Elazar. Chachamim hold, no, that if we have biological evidence that she stopped seeing dam, for example, the case of a zkena, so in that case of a woman who's past menopause, and then she had three onos, that's 90 days that passed and she didn't see dam, then we assume she has the status of mesulekes damim and daya shaita. But in the case of a young woman who, even though she hasn't seen dam for 90 days, three onos, nevertheless, she's metami lumafreya. Visanya, we learned in a brisa, Maisa, there was a situation that came up, and they came to ask the question in front of Rebbe about a young woman, and she passed three onos, she didn't see dam, then she saw dam, the Asa Rebbe Kerbalazar, and Rebbe Paskin Lakula, and he was lenient like Rabbi Eliezer, who said that Dayashaita, even though she's a young woman, but 30 times 3 days passed, and therefore she didn't see dam, now she's musulekes damim, like a zkena, like an older woman, and she's only mitame mikana lahaba, Dayashaita. The Asa Rebbe, ki Rabbi Eliezer, as we said before, Rebbe Paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, liachar shenizkar, then Rebbe reminded himself that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. Initially, when he gave his ruling, he was under the impression that everybody agrees to Rabbi Eliezer. Subsequent to his decision, he found out, or he reminded himself, that the Chachamim disagree. And now the question is, should he undermine and reverse his original ruling? Omar made a declaration, Kedayu Rabbi Elazar Lismoch Olav Shasatchak. We're in a Shasatchak situation. The reason why it was a Shasatchak situation is because it was years of famine in the land, and we need all the food that we can get. There's a dearth of food available. So he didn't want to apply the principle of Mafreya because that would expand the Tumah to any food that she came in contact with in the last 24 hours. Therefore, he says, you know what? we're going to rely back on Rabbi Loza. He's worthwhile. And since it's a Shas Hadchak, we'll rely on him. And the Gemara is going to try to prove Rav Papa that you see that Rebbe was compelled to pasken like the Rabbanon against Rabbi Eliezer, if not for the fact that it was Shas Hadchak and he had already issued his ruling. But fundamentally, you would have pasken like the Rabbanon, even though this whole discussion is only on a din de Rabbanon. Nevertheless, we pasken like Rabim against the Yochid Mai, Liachar Sheniskar. First, let's interpret the case. What does it mean he remembered? Elam, if you're going to say Liachar Sheniskar, Dien Aloch Kirabalozer El Kirabbanon. If he all of a sudden reminded him that already in the Beis Medrash there was a tradition that in this particular machlokes we paskin like the Rabbanon, is therefore b'shas adchak hechi ovid kavosei. Even if it was a shas adchak, we can't rely on Rabbi Lozer. If we've rejected Rabbi Lozer as a shita, he would have had to undo, or shall we say, vitiate and completely negate his original horah. Ela, but rather lo itmar hilchas alo k'Rabbi Lozer v'lo. Kirabon, and there was never an actual psak that was part of the Mesorah as to who we paskin like, so the question is still up in the air. So what does Liachar Sheniskar mean? He reminded himself to lav yachid poligale, that it's not one particular Tana, one Chacham that disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer, el Rabim pligale, that the majority opinion rejected Rabbi Eliezer in this case. But nevertheless, Omar, he said, Kedayu Rabbi Elazar, l'smoch lo b'shas hadchak, since it was never a formal psak like the Chachamim against Rabbi Elazar, so it was still up in the air. But then Rebbe found out that there's Rabbim that argue against Rabbi Elazar, and at that point he said, you know what, since there was no formal psak, we'll rely in a shas hadchak situation on Rabbi Elazar. But anyway, it's clear from this whole braisa that even in a din of Tumas Ishal Amafreya, which is the Rabbanon, we're going to paskin like the Rabbim. It's only because of the Shas Hadchak that Rebbe fell back on the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. So right now, we now have a clear-cut proof that even in the Rabbanons, we paskin like the Rabbim. So that's round number one. That's Rav Papa from the Mishnah in Nida. Now we have round number two, again a proof that Halacha Kirabim, even in a Din D'Rabbanon, Omarav Misharshia L'Rava, the Amrile, others had it as a tradition of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, said to Rava, V'chibe D'Rabbanon Lo Shani Ben Yochid B'makom Yochid Levein Yochid B'makom Rabim. Can you really maintain that with regard to a Din D'Rabbanon, we're going to paskin Lekula, even against the Rabim? Vasanya, now we're learning a Bryson Moed Katan, and we're dealing with Avelus, and the laws of Avelus are only Durabana. And the key rules that we have to know are regarding, number one, what we call the Iser Rechitzas Gufo, or Kibus Begadov. That's number one. And then we have another Iser, number two, which is called lehistaper, for haircuts and shaving, legaitzes begadav, or to press his clothing. And now we have a difference between what's called a shmua krova and a shmua rechoka. A shmua krova means that he heard about the death of one of his seven relatives very shortly after the death. Is no heges shiva ushloshim. Number one, for 7 days, he's not allowed to wash his body. He's not allowed to wear clean clothes. And then afterwards, he finishes Shiva and he goes into a period of Shloshim. And the balance of Shloshim, from the time that he heard about the death of his relative, he's not allowed to take a haircut. And he's not allowed to press his clothing. That's called Giyutz and Tispores. That's all in a case of Shmua Krova. What's the deal in a case of Shmua Rechoka? A long period of time has passed. We'll see exactly how long in a minute. Since the death of his relative, is then we have a kula, we have a leniency in Avelus according to Rabbi Akiva, and Einan Oheges Eliyom Echad. Shiva is reduced to one single day, and certainly Shloshim. The Ezehi Krov of Ezi Rechoka betoch Shloshim Krov Aliachas Shloshim Rechoka. If he heard within 30 days since the death of his relative, that's called the Shmur Rechoka. He needs full 7 days of Avelis, followed by another 23 days of Avelis. In the case of a person who finds out about the death of his relative 30 days after the death took place, which is called the Shmur Rechoka, then Rabbi Akiva maintains he only needs 1 day of Avelis. Direi Rabbi Akiva, Chachamim disagree. Chachamim achashmur krova v'achashmur rechoka noheges shiva v'shloshim. It's irrelevant how long of a time period has passed since the death until he found out about the death of his relative. In any event, he always has to begin a full shiva and a full shloshim of avelus. Fi omar rabba barachana, omar rabbi yochanan, kol bokv shatamotzi yochidu mekil. V'rabba machmirim, halach kidiri machmirim amirubim. Generally speaking, if not for the fact that Avelus is the exception to the rule, if there's a dissenting view of the Rabbim, then we passing like the Rabbim. And the Yochid, although he's Mekil, since the Rabbim are Machmirim, we have to passing like the Merubim. And the only exception is Chutz, Mizu. If the exception is this machlok between Rabbi Akiva Chacham, Shafal Pish Rabbi Akiva Mekil Vachacham Machmirim, Halacha Kedivrei Rabbi Akiva. And the reason for that is Vesavar Kishmuel, Diyamar Shmuel Halacha Kedivrei Mekil Biavel. We have a principle in Avelus that whenever we have machlokis in Avelus, we're always going to paskin like the Mekil, the more lenient opinion, even if he's a Yochid against the Rabbin. So the Gemara is Medayik now, Viavelus Udiakil Le Rabbonon. The only reason why we're going to accept the opinion of Rabbi Akiva the Yochid against the Rabbin, against the Chachamim, is because of the special halacha that applies uniquely to Avelus. Havel bi'alma, in other areas of halacha, afilu b'drabbanon, even if we're dealing with a drabbanon like Avelus, ishani, we're going to make a distinction bein Yochid b'mokum Yochid, bein Yochid b'mokum Rabbin, between a case where you have machlokes between two tanoim, that's called Yochid b'mokum Yochid, as opposed to machlokes between one tana, where the dissenting view is the Rabbin. And there we're going to paskin like the Rabbin, even though it's a dinder abonon. And that's against Rabba. Against Rabba, excuse me. And based on this logic, we can now understand why Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi felt compelled to tell us halacha kir Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, in a case of Adam Yoshein, that we could be mekil in Erev Tchumen, which is only the Rabbanon, against the Rabbim. And he was compelled to tell us this because, despite the fact that Erev Tchumen is the Rabbanon, nevertheless, we would have said halacha kir Rabbim, if not for the special principle of halacha k'divrei ha-mekil be'erev. And now we turn to Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara now goes back to various cases to explain why Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi had to paskin halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, even though he already paskin halacha k'divrei ha-mekil be'erev. Rav Papa Amar Itzrich. Rav Papa came up with his own original answer to the question, why did Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi feel compelled to tell us that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri with regard to Adam Yoshein, who's kona shvisim b'mkomo? Why didn't he rely on his general statement, his general ruling, that we always paskin k'divrei ha-mekil be'erevin? Says Rav Papa, salke daitcha mina, I would have thought hani mili be'erev chatzeros. Avol be'erev tchumin eimo lo. Although, in regard to erevin, with regard to, for example, an Erev Chatzeros, that means two different groups of people, two different batim that share one chatzer, and there's another two batim that share a different chatzer, and they want to be able to carry from one chatzer to the other, they need an Erev. Here we're going to paskin k'divrei ha-mekil. And that's what Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi had in mind when he said, halacha k'divrei ha-mekil be Erev. That's because in Erev Chatzeros, we could be mekil. Erev Chatzeros is really secondary. It's not the fundamental Erev. The real fundamental Erev that there's a tremendous need for, al pi halacha, is Erev Tchumen. Erev Tchumen is much more chomer than Erev Chatzeros. You can almost set up a ovos and toldos, so to speak. You know, the really av, the archetype case of Erevin is Erev Tchumen. And the Torah actually says, Al Yetze Ish Mim Kovo B'Yom HaShabbos. So the very breakthrough revolution of Er Tchumen is to be Matir, leaving one's Tchum Shabbos. And here I would have thought, if not for Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levi, that we don't apply the principle of Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel. Tzricha, therefore, Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levi had to teach us that in our sugya, which is dealing with Erev Tchumen, we paskin la locha like Yochanan ben Nuri, who's mekil against the chacham who are machmir, and we're going to apply the principle of halacha kedivrei hamekil be'erevin, even in the case of Erev Tchumen, even though Erev Tchumen is more chamur. And as we said before, the reason why Erev Tchumen is more chamur, that's the ikar din of Erev. So the Gemara asks, "Umino teimer deshani leiv ein erev chatzerus leerev tchumen? Do you have any sort of proof text that we're more machmir in erev tchumen than we are in erev chatzerus?" And the answer is this: Nan, we have a Mishnah later on Daf Pei Aleph Amid Beis with regard to the din that ein ma'arvin liolam shlo b'midaito. It means the following: we have a principle called zochin liadam shlo b'fana. And we will act on behalf of someone else as his agent, even though he didn't appoint us and instruct us to do so, because this is a chus. Because we assume that for sure he would want us to do so if he only knew about it. That does not apply in the case of Erev Tchumen. Om Rav Yehuda Bamedvar Murim. When do we apply this principle that ein ma'arvin li adam shalomi daito? That's in the case of Erev Tchumen. We're not going to set up an Erev on behalf of someone without his knowledge and without his explicit appointing us as his agent to do so. Why? Because whenever you set up an Erev Tchumen, although on the one hand you get an extra 2,000 amma, but it's only in that direction. You lose 2,000 amma in a different direction. So let's say, for example, a person is outside of the tchum of his city. Had he been at his house, we would give him 2,000 ammas to the north, we give him 2,000 ammas to the east, and so forth and so on. But now that he's outside the city and we set up an Eruv Tchumen on his behalf without his instruction, he's not going to be able to go all the way 2,000 amma to the east of his home. He's only allowed to go 2,000 amma, not more, to the east of where he was Kona Shvisa, again, where we established the Erev Tchumen on his behalf. Aval Erev Chatzeres Ma'arvin Bein Ladas Bein Shalol Ladas Shezoch Liyodim Shalol B'Fana Bein Chavim Liyodim Shalol B'Fana. With regard to Erev Chatzeros, which is only good news, it has no bad news, and it allows a person to carry from his house into his chatzer, and from his chatzer to another chatzer, nearby chatzer, it's pure gain without any loss, 100% plus and no minus. And therefore, since we have a principle called Zochin Liyodim Shalom B'Fanav, we are able to set up an Erev Chatzeros on behalf of someone, a Bala Chatzer, even without his instruction. But in the case of Erev Tchumen, where there's a downside, there we're going to apply the principle of Ein Chavin Liyadim Shalom B'Fano. So we see that we're more machmir in Erev Tchumen than we are in Erev Chatzeros. Now on this Gemara, there's a Kash of Tosus, Divya Maskel V'Ein, and he says, how can you prove from the din of that the din of Erev Chatzeros is more calm, more lenient than the din of Erev Tchumen, from the fact that in Chatzeros we could be Ma'arev Shalomi Das, but not in Erev Tchumen? The reason for this is because we have a principle of Ein Chavin Lo Adam Shalom B'Fana, Shalomi Daito. So since in the case of Erev Tchumen he loses something, there's the downside, as we said before, he's more restricted in terms of how far he could go. So therefore we cannot perform and function as a self-appointed agent. But the difference between Erev Chatzeres and Erev Tchumen, says Tos, has nothing to do with Kula and Chumra. It has to do with whether it's a Schus or a Chova. So Tos's answers that the difference between Schus and Chova is not really a tam gomur. All we mean to say is that ikar dover hu, that we have certain leniencies that apply in Erev Chatzeros, in this case, self-appointed shluchim, that don't apply in the case of an Erev Tchumen. Again, as to what the reason for it is, which we saw here in the Mishnah, as it was quoted, of Ein Chavin Liadam Shalom B'Fanav, that's already a different question, but as at the end of the day, we have a halachic leniency that applies to Chatzeros that doesn't apply to Tchumen. In any event, the bottom line is that the din of Erev Chatzeros is kal, relative to the din of Erev Tchumen, as far as this law of setting up an Erev Shalo Midas. And therefore, we would have said that this principle, this general rule of halacha kedivrei hamekel be'erevin only applies to Erev Chatzeros and not to Erev Tchumen. And that's why Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi felt compelled to teach me that that's not so. We're going to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri lekula biyadam yoshin be'erev tchumin against the sheet of the Chachamim, because halacha kedivrei hamekel be'erev not only in Erev Chatzeros but even in Erev Tchumen. So that's how Rav Papa justifies the fact that Rav Yishuv ben Levi was compelled to spell out halacha kedivrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rav Ashi has a different answer to the question why Rav Yishuv ben Levi was compelled to tell us halacha kir Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. It's true. Salka daitach aminahani mili. When do we apply this klal? In a machlokes. That's only be shiure eruv. Shiure eruv means that a person put down mazon shtei sudos on Erev Shabbos and he set up an Erev Chatzeros. And then, nismayta ochel, with the passage of time, the food shrunk. And as a result, he no longer has mazon shtei sudos. He doesn't have the shear, the minimum shear that's necessary for the to validate his eruv. And that on daf pei amid beis, way later on in the Masechta, we're going to have machlokes tanoim. The Gemara is going to refer to it now, as to whether or not we can still continue to rely on this Eruv, even though what's left is just some Shirayim, some vestige of the original Eruv, but it's not worth Shtei Sudos. And here we're going to paskin like the Mekil. And the Mekil says that this Eruv is kosher. Why? Because if on one particular Shabbos, the first Shabbos, the Eruv was kosher, it had Muslim Shtei Sudos, then we apply the principle called Huchzak HaEruv KeHilchasa. The Eruv now gets a Chazaka, and we can rely on this Eruv for future Shabbosos. Avol Tchilas Eruv, but if we have Machlokis about the Eruv from its get-go, from its onset, and it doesn't have this status, it never had this status for Huchzak Eruv KeHilchasa, then Emolo. Perhaps we would think that in such a case, we don't apply the principle of Holchin, Achara Mekil, B'Erevin. And Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, when he made his statement, Aloch Kedivrei HaMekil B'Erev, he said in the context of that Machlokes, in the Mishnah later on, with regard to Shiurei Erevin, where there was a Huchzak HaErev Kilcha. So in there, he passed like the Mekil, and for all future Shabbosos, we could rely on this Erev. But in the case of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, we want to know whether he's kona shvisa for tchumen when he's asleep and he's totally non-conscious. He's not conscious of being kona shvisa. That's already tchila. That's already tchilas eruv. And there's no huchzaka eruv kil chasa. Maybe in such a case, we would not have the audacity to paskin like the mekil against the rabbim and accept Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in order to establish an Erev Mitchila. It has no Huchzak HaErev Kilchos. Therefore, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, says Rav Ashi, was compelled to tell us that even in this case, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The Gemara asks, Umina Temra Deshanilam Beshiure Erev Litchilas Erev. Do you have any source, any origin for this distinction that would have logically left me with the conclusion that we don't paskin like the Mekil in a case of Tchilas Eruv. Where do you find a distinction in Halacha between a case of Shiurei Eruv and a case of Tchilas Eruv? This Nan, we learn in the Mishnah later on, and this is the Mishnah of Shtei Mazon Shtei Sudas as the minimum Shiur for an Eruv Chatzeros. When do we say that you need a shear of Mazon Shtei Sudos? And that's an absolute requirement, the minimum requirement for an Erev Chatzeros. That's only B'tchilas Erev. That's only on the first time that he's relying on this Erev. Avol B'shirei Erev, if last Shabbos he already relied on this Erev, and he had Shtei Sudos, is Afilu Kolshu. From now on, all we need is a Kolshu. Now, I just want to point out that a kolshu here means a kolshu from every one of the mishtatfin. So let's say, for example, you have three families that share a chatzer. You have another three families, for example, that share another chatzer. And the two chatzeres want to set up an eruv. You need that all six families contribute to the eruv. And Rabbi Yossi is saying that if, with the passage of time, the food disintegrated, I don't know what word you want to use, shriveled up and it got smaller, then as long as you have a mashahu, a kolshu, from each one of the six mishtatfim, again, the number depends upon how many people share the chatzer, that's sufficient. Vilo omru li'arev chatzeros, and when they established this institution, this enterprise of erev chatzeros, ella, they only did it for the following motivation. This was the agenda and the purpose of establishing the requirement of an Eruv Chatzeros. Kidei shelo l'shakech toras Eruv min ha-tinokos. Tinokos here, although it literally translates as the young babies or young adults, what it means in this context is the next generation. And throughout Masechta Eruvin, we'll see many takanos that were made and requirements l'chumra of an Erevin, simply that if we would be mekil, which we really could be lenient, me'ikra adin according to strict law, the next generation is not going to see the Erev. It's very important that they see how we implement the enterprise of Erevin. Otherwise, we're afraid tishtakach toras Erevin, the next generation won't even know about Erevin. This is the link between generations. And now Rabbi Yossi is making a pretty radical statement here, going off on a branch, and he's saying that the institution of Erev Chatzeros is really secondary to Erev Tchumen. The real Makoy Erev, the fundamental Erev, is Erev Tchumen. But sometimes we have to make sure that the next generation will see the institution of Erevin, they'll witness it, so therefore they created an expanded Erev, which is called Erev Chatzeros. But the Iker Din Erev is the Erev Tchumen. And therefore, we could be Mekil in Erev Chatzeros. And that's called Shiare Erevin. That if the Erev was made B'Tchilaso Kilchaso, and therefore it sets up a Chezkas Erev Lilchaso, then even if the Erev shrinks with the passage of time, as long as there's a kolshu for each one of the mishtatvim, we can rely on that Erev. And therefore, based on this principle of Rabbi Yossi, that the fundamental tree of Erev is Erev Tchumen, and the branch was Erev Chatzeros, which was a secondary institution that was enacted by the Chachamim for the purpose of Shelo Tishtakach Toras Erevim Me'atinokos, therefore we can be more mekil in Erev Chatzeros, which is just an offshoot, than we would be in Erev Tchumen. And therefore, once again, we come back to the statement of Rav Ashi, that Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi was compelled to tell us that we paskin like the Yochid, meaning Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Adam Yoshin, against the Rabbim in Erev Tchumen, to tell you that even in Erev Tchumen, which is the fundamental, the main supply of Erevin, the mainstay of Erevin, we can still apply the principle of Halacha Kedivrei HaMekil be Erev. Rav Yaakov v'Rav Zrika Amru, they have a lot of klolim, rules of psak, which we're going to learn now. So if you want to read an essay on rules of psak, if the machlokes between Rabbi X and Rabbi Y, which rabbi do we paskin like, this is the sugya. Right here in Masechet Erevin on Daf Mem Vav Amid Beis. The oddity about this sugya is at the end of the sugya, the Gemara seems to reject the whole business, but we'll see as we go along. Halachik Rabbi Akiva Mechavera. If Rabbi Akiva is up against a single dissenting Tana, we pass him like Rabbi Akiva. If, on the other hand, Rabbi Akiva is up against the majority, the Chachamim, the Rabbim, who dissent, then we pass him like the Rabbim. Ve, furthermore, Ki Rabbi Yossi Mechavero, against one Tana, we'll pass him like Rabbi Yossi. Uki Rebbe Mechavero, against one Tana, we'll pass him like Rebbe. And all these imply that if the Rabbim dissent against either Rabbi Kiva or Rabbi Yossi or Rebbe, then we paskin like the Rabbim. But if it's one against one, then we'll always paskin like Rabbi Akiva against one, like Rabbi Yossi against one, against Chavero, and like Rebbe against his colleague. So the Gemara says, Lamai Hilchisa. In other words, how far did Rav Yaakov and Rav Zrika go with these principles? Did they mean to say that this is an absolute hora, halacha lemaisa? Or maybe what they were saying, Rav Yaakov and Rav Zrika, is mitzad ha-svara, this is what I would have said, or this is what we would have said in the plural. But let's not derive klolim, halacha lemaisa, from these statements and these pronouncements of Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika. And on this we have a machlokes. So we're going to have a machlokes about a machlokes. Rabbi Asi Omar halacha. Rabbi Asi believes that these rules of psak that were formulated by Rav Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika are la halacha, meaning that's the way we should be mora hora, and we should paskin this way, based on these three rules, barabim, even for the majority of the people of Israel. However, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar matim, that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika didn't mean to say that would be mora hora, halach lamaisa, even for the sake of the rabim, based on these three principles that we learned, but rather it's only matim. Matim means that if an individual comes to ask a question, so we'll tell him, it seems that the halacha would be like Rabbi Akiva, or like Rabbi Yossi, or like Rebbe. However, for the sake of the rabbim, we're not going to rely on these rules of psak and paskin like this bitzibu. That's the opinion of Rabbi Chiya. That's how he understood the three principles of Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina Amar, Nirim. What Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika had in mind was Nirim, not even Matim, but something even lower, one rung lower, which is called Nirim. Nirim means that even if a Yochid would come to ask me a Shaila, I'm not going to give him a hora that he could rely on Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yossi or Rebbe. It's only if a Yachid Asa came. If the Yachid, the individual, went ahead and he did a Maisa and he relied on Rabbi Akiva, for example, then we're not going to be Mavatal the Maisa. You know, it's post facto. We're not going to undermine and invalidate the action that was done. And we'll fall back on the shita of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe in those cases. So there are three different opinions, three different variations and nuances as to how to understand the principles that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika formulate. Now the Gemara brings another statement about how we paskin. And Kiloshan Azeh, meaning the same Achlokas Amoroim that we had in Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yisraiko, whether it's Halacha, whether it's Matim, whether it's Nirim, we're going to have about the following principles. Omer Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. In a Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha Ki Rabbi Yehuda. In a Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, Halacha Ki Rabbi Yossi. The Ein Tzarech Lomer, and it goes without saying, if there's Machlok Shin Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, then halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. Right? Because what do we say? We say that Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going to use this term, and I just loosely, please don't take me seriously, but I'm saying that Rabbi Yehuda is greater than Rabbi Meir, halacha, right? Normative halacha. And Rabbi Yossi is greater than Rabbi Yehuda, so certainly Rabbi Yossi is greater than Rabbi Meir. Right? Hashta b'makom Rabbi Yehuda lesa. We're going to reject Rabbi Meir in favor of Rabbi Yehuda. Is b'makom Rabbi Yossi b'boile? It goes without saying that we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yossi in a machlok shin Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. I don't even have to tell you that, because we already established that in a machlok shin Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yehuda is greater than Rabbi Meir. We paskin like Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Yehuda, so certainly we paskin like Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Meir. Omar of Asi, af ani lomet. I also have my own kal v'chomer. How so? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. If there's a machlok shin Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, halachik Rabbi Yossi. I'm going to assume, based on a kal v'chomer which we were about to learn, that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Shimon. Di Omar, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yochanan. We have a statement of Rabbi Abba in the name Rabbi Yochanan. They didn't machlok shin Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Halachik Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda is one notch up above Rabbi Shimon, and we know that Rabbi Yossi is one notch up above Rabbi Yehuda. Is hashta b'makom Rabbi Yehuda lesa? We're going to reject the shita of Rabbi Shimon if Rabbi Yehuda dissents. Is b'makom Rabbi Yossi mibay? If Rabbi Yossi rejects Rabbi Shimon, certainly we're going to pass like Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Shimon. Iboiluhu. Now, the lowest rung in both of these statements, whether it's the statement of Rabbi Yaakov in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, or whether it's the statement of who was the second statement of Rabbi Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, in both cases, the lowest on the rung is Rabbi Meir in the case of Rabbi Yaakov's formulation in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, or Rabbi Shimon in the case of Rabbi Abba's formulation of Rabbi Yochanan. What happens if we have a machlok between these two Tanoim who are on the bottom of the rung? Ibalu, the Gemara has a suffix, Rabbi Meir for Rabbi Shimon, Mai. Who do we passing like in the case of Rabbi Meir, who's down, he's below Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? Or in the case of Rabbi Shimon, who we said is below Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? What if there's a machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon? Teku. And the Gemara says, we'll have to let it stand. We don't know the answer to this question. Omer Rav Misharshia, and this is what I hinted at before, that at some point the Gemara is going to throw everything we learned overboard. And that's this Rav Misharshia. Lesnu lahani klali. We don't accept any of these rulings, any of these rules, I should say, that the halacha is like this particular Tana when he argues with those Tanoim. But rather, in each case, we're going to deal with the case based on our analytic logic. And if it's logical to us to paskin like one Tana, we'll paskin like him. And it could be in another context. It's not so logical to paskin like that same Tana, but rather like those who disagree with him. And we'll always be machria based on our svara. There are no absolute rules when it comes to how to paskin. What led Rav Misharshia to the conclusion that we should throw out all these different rules that we had about how to paskin in a machlokas tanoim? So the Gemara now is going to offer two possibilities. One is our Mishnah here on Daf, in this case Mem Hayamid Beis, and the other is based on a Mishnah later on on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. In both cases, we're dealing with Masechta Erevin. Ilema, the first possibility which the Gemara is going to reject is that what led Rav Misharshia to his conclusion? Mehodis not. We have in our Mishnah a case of three individuals that are outside of the city on Shabbos, and they were not Konish Visa. And therefore each one gets a tchum of only 4 amos. And we said that the distance here is such that the middle guy, who's between the two polar extremes, he has an overlap of 2 amos, of his 4 amos, towards We'll call it Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So Shimon, the middle guy, has two amos overlapping with Reuven on the right, and two amos overlapping with Levi on the left, if you recall. And the Mishnah says that Shimon could eat with Reuven in the common two amos that overlap. Shimon could eat with Levi in the common two amos that overlap. But Reuven cannot eat with Levi together because they have no overlap whatsoever. So the distance between Reuven and Levi is 8 amos. Shimon is right in the middle at 0.4 amos. He's got two amos that overlap with Reuven. He's got two amos that overlap with Levi. And Rabbi Shimon says, we can compare this to a case in Eruvei Chatzeros. You have three Chatzeros, and each one has a Pesach as an opening to the next one. Meaning, Reuven has a Chatzer that opens up into Shimon's Chatzer. Shimon's in the middle. Shimon has a Chatzer that opens up into Levi's Chatzer. Upsuchos u'shusarabim, and on each extreme, Reuven has an entranceway on the extreme right that goes into Rishus Rabim. Levi has an entranceway that leads him to Rishus Rabim on the left. And Rav Shimon says, Halach is Ervu Shtayim Hachitzonos Imaim Tzoyos. If, let's say, Reuven sets up an Erev Chatzeros with Shimon, Levi sets up likewise an Erev Chatzeros with Shimon, Ishtayim Hachitzonos Imaim Tzoyos, he Muteres imo and vehe muteres imo. Ushtaim achitzonos asura zu al zu, zuim zu. Which means that Reuven is allowed to carry into Shimon's chotzer and vice versa. Levi is allowed to carry into Shimon's chotzer and vice versa. That's based on the respective Erevin that they made, Reuven with Shimon and Levi with Shimon. However, Reuven and Shimon have no Erev. They're on the two extremes. They didn't make an Erev one with the other. And we're going to validate only the Erev between Reuven and Shimon and between Levi and Shimon. But not, we're not going to allow Reuven to carry from his Chatzer into Shimon and then from Shimon into Levi, because there was never an Erev between Reuven and Levi. And the Chachamim disagree with Rav Shimon in this din, and they hold that all three Chatzeros are Asuras L'shtamesh Zu B'Zu, meaning L'chumra, we're not even going to recognize and validate the Erev Chatzeros between Reuven and Shimon, or between Levi and Shimon. And the reason for that is, as the Gemara is going to explain on Daf Mem Ches, that we view somehow all these three Chatzeros as one, because they all open one into the other, and therefore if we view them all as one, it's an all or nothing proposition. And Amir Sashem will get into this machlokus when we get there, but Omar Abchama Bar Guri Omar Rav, what we're interested in is this statement attributed to Rav, Halacha Kirabi Shimon. We're going to be Mekil, and we're going to allow we're going to validate the Eruv between Reuven and Shimon, allowing Shimon to carry into Reuven's Chatzer, and between Levi and Shimon, allowing Shimon to carry into Levi's Chatzer. Uman poligale. Now, we said before that the Chachamim, we mentioned the anonymous Chachamim that disagreed with Rabbi Shimon, and they were Machmir. Well, if we do an investigation, we will be able to identify who exactly is that Tana that disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, and it's none other than Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we just established a klal. This is Rabbi Masharshi's problem. Ha'amrit that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, aloch Rabbi Yehuda. And yet, we have a statement here attributed to Rabbi that we pass like Rabbi Shimon against Rabbi Yehuda. Elav shmami no delesnu. You see that all these klalim that we establish are not accepted, but rather we use the svara, and we use the logic in every single machlokes, every single din unto itself. And in this particular case, we are more compelled to accept the logic of Rabbi Shimon and validate the Erev Chatzeros between Reuven and Shimon and the Erev Chatzeros between Levi and Shimon. And therefore we pass like Reb Shimon. So Gemara says, no, that could not have been the compelling source that led Reb Sharshia to his conclusion. My kusha. Dilma hecha di itmar itmar, hecha di lo itmar, lo itmar. In other words, these klalim, that this is the counter-argument against Rav Mesharshia, these klalim are valid, and they are binding, but only in the absence of some sort of, I call it a mesorah. We have no particular mesorah about how the halacha was accepted, and therefore we're going to rely on these klalim. So let's say in a case where we have machlok between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda, and there was no tradition how we paskin, it was left up in the air. Then we're going to apply the klal that Rav Shimon, Rav Yehuda, halachik Rav Yehuda. But in this particular case, in the Mishnah here on Daf Memhei, we're dealing with a case of what's called hecha de itmar itmar. In other words, there was a mesorah that the halacha is like Reb Shimon. And that was passed on through the generations. Again, why they passed like Reb Shimon, we don't know. But Nimnu v'gamru, you know, the Chachamim back at the time of Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, you know, they heard the debate and they stood up and they voted. I'm just giving one scenario, one pass. And they accepted the halacha like Reb Shimon. Once the halacha has been accepted, Rabbi Shimon, then we're going to pass it like Reb Shimon. But the klalim, the rules of psak, are still binding in a case where there was no specific final decision and ruling that was transmitted to the future generations. There was no formal acceptance of one particular shita, and therefore we're going to paskin, for example, in our case, like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon. In another case, we'll paskin like Rabbi Akiva against another Tana. We'll paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Yehuda, etc., etc., if there's no definite, normative, formal acceptance and tradition that we paskin otherwise. So now we have to find a different source, another Mishnah, that led Rav Mesharshia to his conclusion that these klalim that we mentioned before have to be thrown overboard. Ela mihodisnan, but rather from a Mishnah later on in Daf Nun Tes, Ir shel Yochid. In other words, there was a city that was a private kind of city, and very few people traveled the highways and the byways and the streets and avenues of that city. There was less than what we call Shishim Ribu, less than 600,000. And therefore, that city did not have the status of a Rishus HaRam. Rishus HaRam requires, according to Rashi Shita, Shishim Ribu. And therefore, the members of that city are allowed to set up an Erev Chatzeros, and one Erev Chatzeros can suffice for the entire city and make it into one Chatzer, such that you could be metaltel from one Chatzer to the other. Now, that was the original status of the city. It was called an Ir Shel Yochid. Now, a flood of people, they heard great things about this city, and its real estate was shooting up. A flood of people bought in that city. V'nase shel rabim, what used to be an Ir Shel Yochid now became an Ir Shel Rabim. And the Mishnah records one shita that says ma'arvin es kula, that one eruv will suffice to be matir all the chatzeros of that city, just like it was in the beginning. Again, we're going to have to assume that there's some condition in Rosh Hashanah that hasn't been fulfilled. Rashi says that the streets of the city are less than 16 amos wide. So again, we have to learn all the conditions that make a Rosh Hashanah. For that, we have to go back and do a Chazar Masechta Shabbos. But one of those conditions, Rashi points out, is that the width of these avenues has to be a minimum of 16 amos. And in this case, since the city was originally built as an Ir Shel Yochid, there aren't such wide avenues. Now we get the opposite case. Shel Rabim v'naseis Shel Yochid. Originally, this was a city of Rabim, and it was Shishim Ribu, and we were not allowed to make an Erev once, Erev for the entire city. And the Chachamim were afraid that maybe people wouldn't know that there was an Erev there. They'll think that we could be metaltel in a Rishus HaRabim. They'll come to the wrong conclusion. And therefore we want to make local Erevin, you know, neighborhood Erevin. Now the city went down, meaning people started dropping out and moving out of the city. The Nasei Shal Yochid. In other words, there's no longer Shishim Ribui. Again, the Rishonim say that it doesn't matter who owns the city. We're not dealing with real estate and legal ownership. We're dealing with how many people live in the city, travel through the city, etc., etc. Now the city became an Ir Shel Yachid. So based on the description and the current reality, we should be able to make one Eir for the entire city. Ein Ma'arvin Es Kula. We're always afraid that maybe the city went down in its population, but it will go up again. So we don't want to change the status quo. We're going to leave it as it were, as if it were an Ir Shel Rabim, and require a mini Erevin throughout the city. Elim Kain Ose Chutzala. Unless he leaves certain houses outside the city. That's called Mishayer Mispar Batim. And we're going to have a machlokas how many batim you need. And even if these batim are outside of the city limits, they're not included in the Erev of the city. And this creates what's called a hekera. And the reason for the heter of tiltal in that city is because we're going to rely on the Erev, and no one's going to think that we could be metaltil in an Ir Shel Rabim without an Erev, because of this heker of the houses that are on the outskirts of the city. Now, how many batim do we need to set up this heker so that now we can have one area for the entire city if it became a city of a yachid? Is ki'ir chadasha shahaisa b'Yehuda she'eshba chamishim diurim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says we need a minimum of 50 homes on the outskirts of the city, and that's the same size as a new city in Yehuda, which is mentioned in Sefer Yoshua, and that's 50. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, and here we turn to Daf Mem Zayin Omer Aleph, we don't need so many houses, but all we need is Shalosh Chatzeros Shel Shnei Batim. We only need three Chatzeros, each one that has two Batim. So all told, we only need six batim, and that's enough for heker to allow tiltal in the city based on an eruv. And we're not going to be afraid and suspect that people come to the mistaken conclusion that you can be metaltal without an eruv. The Omar Rav Chama Bar Guri Omar Rav Halachik Rabbi Shimon. We're going to paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon is the Mekil against Rabbi Yehuda. Now the rule that we had was that in a machlok stream, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Uman polagale Rabbi Yehuda va'amrit Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon alocha ki Rabbi Yehuda. So how could it be that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon? It must be that we reject all these klolim. And the Gemara says, and with this we'll conclude, umay kusha, that's not a question. The fact that Rav paskin like Rav Shimon, Dilma hocha nami, hechad itmar, hechad lo itmar, lo itmar. Here also we're going to apply this principle that there was an explicit, formal acceptance of the halacha like Rav Shimon back in the time of the original machlokes, and that became part of the tradition. But in a case where we don't have any definite tradition, then erchinami, we go back to the klalim, and the klal is that in a machlokes stream Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So we're still sort of suspended in midair. We don't have a proof to support Rabbi Misharshia that these klolim were rejected. So we're going to stop here on Daf Mem Zayin Amid Aleph. And we're up to Ella, which is four lines down from the top. And I'll take this opportunity to wish you a great day. Mr. Shem, we'll get together tomorrow.